I've said before that one of my favorite aspects of our painting project here in the church from last year are the scripture passages that are now on the walls and ceilings of our church. Especially like this one over here, under the luminous mysteries from John chapter 9, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." There's an old saying, don't ask questions to which you do not want the answer. Don't ask the question if you're not ready for the answer. In our gospel today, this man with an evil spirit in him comes into the synagogue where Jesus is preaching, and the evil spirit speaks through this man, and the evil spirit violates this principle. It says to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The evil spirit asks Jesus, "Have you come to destroy us?" Don't ask a question that you're not ready for the answer, because the answer to that question is yes. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. Sometimes it's easy to domesticate Jesus. You know, Jesus is just a good preacher, good teacher, a moral leader, an inspiration. That's not who Jesus is, fundamentally. Fundamentally, Jesus is a warrior. He's a warrior king who has come into the world to do battle with the forces of evil, with the forces of darkness. And the weapons he uses are not the weapons of human warfare. No, the weapons that he uses is humility and love, sacrifice, service, obedience. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus has come as the light of the world to dispel the works of darkness. "Have you come to destroy us?" asked the evil spirit. "Yes, Jesus has come to destroy evil." Do you know how evil the world was at the time of the incarnation, at the time of the coming of Jesus? I mean, there's always been evil in the world, but you know how especially evil the world was before the gospel, before Christ? I was doing a little research just on the morality of the ancient world. Listen to some of these facts about how human beings saw morality at the time and before Jesus. What about something like slavery? Well, slavery was an accepted institution in the ancient world. Slaves commonly made up the majority of a population of a local area. Children also made up a large percentage of slaves. What about violence? In the ancient world, killing was often viewed with indifference as being a natural happening in the lives of peoples. The massacre of a population of a city often caused neither surprise nor indignation. We know in Rome, the spectacle most prized by the people was that of men dying in the arena, and the gladiator fights in Rome were occasions of merciless slaughters. How about the lives of women in the ancient world? Well, in general, women had almost no rights. They were practically considered slaves of their husbands, that is, when they had the privilege of being married. Polygamy was common. Abortion and child abandonment was common. Roman law gave a dictatorial power to the father of a family. In Greece, similar laws were in existence. The father had the right to reject his newborn son or to sell him as a slave. In Carthage and Phoenicia, children were offered in sacrifice to the idols. And throughout the ancient world, sexual immorality in all of its forms was practiced and celebrated and not condemned. And unlike the Israelites, the pagan world had no prophets of the day to call out this immoral behavior. It was just assumed this is how human beings treat one another. And so Jesus, the light of the world, comes into this darkness. And in the question of the evil spirit speaking through this man, have you come to destroy us? You can almost sense a little bit of fear in the evil spirit. Because for centuries, the evil one has had this grip on humanity, and it was seen in the morality of the ancient world. And now the evil one knows that with the coming of Jesus, his grip on humanity is going to start to loosen as the light has come into the world to destroy the works of darkness. This week we're celebrating Catholic Schools Week. Why are Catholic schools so important? Because what does the church seek to do? The church exists to continue the mission of Jesus, this mission of setting people free from the grasp of evil through baptism, through the sacraments, through prayer, through formation. This is exactly what Catholic schools do. Catholic schools exist to help form young people in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ. Lots of schools teach about math and science and English literature, and those are all good and important things, and so do Catholic schools. But what Catholic schools can do better than any other type of school is form the young person to be like Christ. This is what the gospel brought into that ancient world that was so immoral, the goodness of God's love and truth. And the church continues that now through Catholic schools to form young people in the gospel, to form young people in what is true, what is good, what is beautiful, to form young people in the virtues of faith, hope, and charity, to form young people to come to love prayer and the sacraments and the Eucharist, the Mass, to know the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to form young people in love, to know what it means to love your neighbor, to be people of kindness and compassion and mercy and forgiveness, to come to understand that we're called to have a respect for all human life from conception to natural death, the goodness of all life, to become a person of virtue, service, and generosity, to come to see the beauty of God's plan for sexuality, the great gift of chastity, to come to see that marriage and family life as God intended it, husband, wife, children, the beauty of God's plan, to come to learn the works of mercy, that we're called to care for the poor, the sick, and those in need. All of these things is what Jesus brought with him when he brought the light of the gospel into the world, and the church continues that mission for 2,000 years and so on. And Catholic schools are one of the greatest ways the church does that. Again, I think it can be very easy for us as modern people 2,000 years after the incarnation to think that everybody thinks this way. Everyone's always thought this way, that we should care for our neighbor and love our neighbor, that we should help the poor and the needy, that, you know, marriage and family life is a good thing. That hasn't always been the case. And we know there are parts of the world where people don't believe that here today. The evil one still has a grasp on many people's lives, including our own in little ways. That's where we're all in need of deeper formation and transformation by the grace of God. Don't ask a question that you don't want to know the answer to. The evil spirit forgot that principle. Have you come to destroy us? Yes. The light has come to destroy the darkness in the world. And the church continues that mission specifically through what we celebrate this week, the gift of Catholic schools. For 150 years, this community has supported the work of Catholic education, of forming young people in the gospel. This parish every year donates hundreds of thousands of dollars to support the work of our school. That's something that should be celebrated and promoted and encouraged because it's such an important and beautiful thing. The last line of the gospel, Mark writes, Jesus' fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. Why did his fame spread? And then why did the gospel spread throughout the Roman Empire in the early days? Because people heard the good news that we don't have to live like this and treat each other as slaves and objects, and that greed and selfishness should not rule the day, but love and compassion and mercy. And people believed it, and it changed lives, and it's been changing lives for 2,000 years. His fame, his light, continues to spread through great institutions like Catholic schools. May Jesus' fame continue to spread right here in our own town, through our parish, and through our school.